Good to be with you once again. I would ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We'll begin our study there this morning. We notice here in Luke chapter 10, we find a young ruler or young lawyer who has decided that he wants to test Jesus. And we find there that he asked the teacher, he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" in verse 25. Jesus' answer to him was, instead of giving him the answer, he says, "What does it say?" And in verse 27 he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all and your neighbor as yourself." Today I want us to think about that thought about the neighbor. For what we find here, it says that in verse 29 that the young lawyer was trying to justify himself. So the answer was given. He gave his own answer. But he said, "Who is my neighbor?" A lot of times we need to think about that. Who is my neighbor? Jesus proceeded from there to tell a story about a Jewish man that ended up being robbed and beaten nearly to death, left by the roadside to die. And the story that Jesus foretells here in Luke chapter 10, there was a certain Levi that came by walking. He did see the man, but he proceeded to walk far away from him and around him and carried on his way. Then it talks about a priest that was also walking along the way. He too saw the man lying there in need, but he too chose to walk by and not proceed any further with the man. Then it talks about, in the latter part of the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach this man, he teaches him about a Samaritan. A Samaritan that also saw the man. And the difference in the Samaritan and the Levite and the priest was that the Samaritan had compassion upon the man. He didn't know the man. He was not familiar with the man at all. Had probably never seen him before in his life. But it says he had compassion on what had happened to him, how the man was in need of help. It says he stopped. He helped him with his wounds. He put him on his own animal, carried him into the nearest town, and spent the evening with him through the night in the inn. The next day, before the man left, he made sure that the innkeeper was given money to take care of the man till he was able to be on his own. And he said, "If there's anything more than what I've given you, when I come back, I will repay you." This is the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach all of us. Who is my neighbor? We have a lesson that unfolded before us. With that in mind, I want us to think about how to treat my neighbor. What was it in the lesson that we learned that Jesus is trying to teach here about how to treat our neighbors? One is by being helpful in time of need. Two men decided among themselves, or beside themselves, that they would not be involved at all with the needs of this man. But yet one chose to do the right thing. Turn your Bibles, if you will, back over to Proverbs chapter 27. And notice, if you will, verses 9 and 10 of that passage there. Here he says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." Now in verse 10 he says this, "Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother afar off." When we hear of someone in need, how do we react to that? What is our response to that need? Am I one that says, "Well, there's more others that can take care of him better than I, and so I don't get myself involved"? Are we like the Levite and the priest who saw a need but rejected the need? Didn't want to get involved in the need? Here the proverb writer says it's better, as it says there, it's better that a neighbor be nearby. In other words, be there of assistance than just be afar off and maybe make a phone call and say, I hope everything goes well with you. These are things we need to think about. In Luke chapter 10, going over to the New Testament again, and going back to the thought of the story that Jesus foretold us there, in Luke chapter 10, and we notice there this very thing unfolds before us. The Samaritan, he stops. In verse 34, he bandaged the wounds of the poor man. He poured oil and wine upon the wounds to help heal them. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And then before he departed, make sure that the man was cared for before he left. He was there for him in his time of need. What else is it? How else should I treat my neighbor? By sharing in their joy and sorrow. So many times we find people that become jealous over the well of others, or we see them in time of despair and sorrow, and we don't have any sympathy for them. But what does the Lord tell us? Well, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and be sorrowful or weep with those who weep. We are to be compassionate. The Good Samaritan was compassionate. The man was in sorrow. He was in need. He was in pain. And it said that he wept with him. He helped him in his time of need. What about caring and being sincere? So many of us become so calloused in how we feel for others. You know, our lesson, our Bible class lesson today is talking about pride. And this is kind of an area of pride where we become so calloused in our own thoughts that we don't even have any feeling or any sincerity or any compassion for mankind around us. You know, I'm not talking here. This lesson was not, whenever he talked about the neighbor, he wasn't talking about those that we know. The Samaritan, now keep in mind, did not know the man that he helped heal. This was a complete stranger unto him. Our compassion, our sincerity, our caring for others goes well beyond those that we know. It goes on to all those around us that we come in contact with day by day. Those strangers that we might walk past, those people that we might see in the store or see in our jobs. Getting to know them and having compassion and care for our fellow man, regard in disregard of what their financial status is or their race status, it doesn't matter. We're to have compassion for all. We find, going back over to Proverbs chapter 3, and notice we find here in this particular writing in verses 28 and 29, he says this, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow will I give it, when you have it with you. And the reason there he says is, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. When we see someone in need, what is our response? What the writer here is trying to tell us, our response should be to give unto those if we have, and if they have need, to give unto them. Not to hold off, not to hold back. We find in chapter 14 of the same writing there, when we go over to chapter 14, and notice in verses 20 and 21 here, he says, the poor man is hated even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. We see that in our society today. According to their status quo, we look down upon those who are poor, but we look up to those who are rich. But yet they're no different than we are. We should not look at others in different ways. He says, a man goes on there and talks about, he says, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. We treat one another the same. We treat those around us the same, regardless of their status and how they are. We find in Romans chapter 13, going back over to the New Testament now, in Romans chapter 13, and we find here the writer Paul has this to say in Romans 13 and verse 8 beginning. Notice there he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. I've always said that love is like a bond. It's like a glue that bonds things together. And when we have love within our hearts, when we have compassion in our hearts for one another, it is going to bring us together. It's going to build us up. He says there in verse 9, he says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we look at each and every one of those things that he says we shall not do, have you noticed that it's something that affects others? You shall not commit adultery. That has a great effect upon others. When it goes on to say, you shall not murder, think of the effect that that has on others. Bearing false witness, coveting what others have, all of these have to deal with how we respond to other people, how we deal with other people. That's why we should not be involved in these things. And loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now that brings up another question. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. I want us to think about that, if you will, and we'll get to that here in a moment. Love does no harm to a neighbor, neither love, and therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. In chapter 15 of the same book, in verse 2, we notice there it says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Building up one another, not tearing down. We should never look for ways of belittling other people and tearing them down. But instead, we need to be looking and putting our efforts into trying to build them up and encourage them day by day. I want us to think also, I told you we'd look at this, keeping in mind there, the thought that he said there in verse 9 of Romans chapter 13. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How do I love myself? Have you ever stopped to think about that? How do I love myself? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29, there it talks about not only just the relationship of the husband and wife and Christ with the church, but it deals in a little further with the thought of the husband, and it talks about how that the husband is to nourish and cherish his wife, even as himself. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. Each and every one of us got up this morning. I don't see anybody, at least I don't think you slept in what you were wearing today. And I'm pretty sure you probably got something for nourishment to get you through the morning. So you prepared yourself a meal. You prepared yourself and dressed yourself and got ready to go out into the public and to come to services today. That's caring for self. Now, think about putting that same kind of effort into caring for others. When we see a need, how do I respond? Do I respond by trying to fill the need of others? Or do I look for someone else to try to fill that need? It's my responsibility to fill that need. We notice there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about love. And it says there, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, what does he really mean by that, that word love? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul kind of defines that word love. In verse 13, or chapter 13 and verse 1, He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, he says. Now he's giving illustrations here of one who says he has love but doesn't have it. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. As I said earlier, love is what brings things together. When I have love in my heart, it prompts me to do something, to be involved, to get involved with the things and the needs of others. Who is my neighbor? It's the one that I show love and respect and care for. Here, when I include love into things, more is accomplished. It becomes beneficial to others. It becomes profitable for all. Then he gets into the definition. In verse 4 he says, love suffers long, is kind. Now I can present a lesson on each and every one of these definitions that he's given here. But notice what he says, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not think any evil of anyone. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And then in verse 7, to kind of summarize what he says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then he goes on to say that love never fails. When love is involved, you can rest assured that whatever effort we're putting forth, it will be a benefit to someone, somewhere. Whenever I think about love, I think about just how would I want someone to treat me? That's how I need to treat them. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a strong saying. But how many of us put that into practice in our daily lives? That's a demonstration of my love, of how I want to treat others. I want us to consider this. Why did the priest and the Levite, you know, so many times we kind of read over that and we don't really stop to think about what was going on with the priest and the Levite. Why was it that they did not get involved with that man? Well, one, maybe they were fearful. It could be that they were afraid. This man was a stranger. They didn't know him. They didn't know what was going on. For fear of maybe their own life, that whoever done this to him may come back and do it to them if they tried to help the man. Fear a lot of times keeps us from doing things that we need to be doing. We need to set fear aside. On this day, the Levite and the priest needed to put fear aside if that was the case. But maybe it wasn't the case. Maybe it was just a lack of compassion for the man. And again, I can't say enough how much compassion we need to have for our fellow man. You know, it's one thing to have compassion for brothers and sisters in Christ, but how much better it is to have love and compassion for those who we don't even know, who are complete strangers to us. Having that kind of love, this is the kind of love that was demonstrated unto each and every one of us in the sending of God's Son to this earth. In our Lord and Savior dying upon a cross, He died for all of mankind, not those of His little group that He had, those disciples that followed after Him. No, He died for all of mankind. That's showing true compassion. Now the priest and Levite, they fell short of that, if that was their case. And it might have been that maybe they were just too busy. Who knows, the priest might have had a meeting that he had to get to, and he was running out of time and he was running behind and he had to get there quickly. The Levite had a big thing, a big sale of some kind that he had to make in order to make a profit. How many of us have set aside something so important as to helping someone in need because of our own selfishness and being too busy with ourselves to help reach out and help someone else? These are just some examples of some excuses people use to not be involved with others, not to be the neighbor that we need to be to others. I want to close with this. You know, instead of asking ourselves, who is my neighbor? And that's what the lawyer asked Jesus. Well, who is my neighbor? What we need to ask ourselves is, who can I be a neighbor to? Let us reach out. Let us extend ourselves to others in their time of need, in their time of calamity. Let us be the kind of people that God wants us to be, a loving, compassionate people. Not just for those around us that we know, but for those that we don't know. Reaching out, love and compassion. If you're here today, there's water and there's clothing prepared. You can be baptized into Christ Jesus today. You know, one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life would be becoming a Christian. It's the greatest decision mankind can ever have. With it brings salvation. With it brings a relationship that we have with God as our Father. And if you're here today and you're in need of that gospel, we hope and pray that you will not hesitate one minute. The invitation is offered unto you. If you're here today and there's sin in your life, as we know, we're all weak and sinful. We all sin from time to time. We're not perfect by no means. We strive for perfection, but we're not perfect. We need to be looking to Jesus. If there's error in my life, I need to correct it. I need not hesitate, but make it right with the Lord today. So whatever your need is, we hope and pray that you'll come forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song. Let us sing.